Greetings. Greetings once again to all my enemies and all my friends. That's right. It's the Weekly Worldview, and I'm your host, Doug McBurney. It's good to be back with you. It's the show where we don't take calls. We don't tolerate sponsors, but we do help focus you on the events of the week through the lens of original thought. And we're focused this week, this coming week, the week in front of us, as we all get ready for the great American eclipse. I know my extremely attractive audio engineer is excited to see the 40 to 60%. I forget exactly. We're not in the path of totality. But maybe we don't want to be, because, you know, the omens and all the strange. There's been a lot of odd and interesting. I remember the last eclipse was just a few years ago, 7 years ago. And, well, it didn't seem this strange, that's all. But the entirety of Western civilization is 7 years more drug-addled than it was in 2017. And so people are just weirded out a little bit more, that much more. And so, case in point, the Gateway Pundit reports, this is from the Widespread Hysteria file, the governor of Indiana, hysteric Eric Holcomb, has declared a statewide disaster in anticipation of the eclipse. That's coming on Monday. That's right. A statewide disaster has been declared by hysterical Governor Eric Holcomb. He says the measure is designed to prepare Indiana for visitors and tourists. That's right. In Indiana, apparently the governor views tourists and visitors as a statewide disaster. And is he genuinely hysterical? It's not hysterics. It's actually more greed, because the signing of the statewide disaster declaration allows Indiana to tap into funds. That's right, resources and aid. That means money through the Emergency Management Assistance Compact, the EMAC. Which, by the way, it's a compact all 50 states have signed on to so that they can all raid the Treasury every time something happens. Even an eclipse, for crying out loud. That's right. They're expecting widespread tourists. And so they want to tap into funding, resources, aid, all of that, just so that... Just so that they don't have to increase their enormous budget deficits and debt anymore. And he's not the only one, by the way. Hysterical Governor Eric up there in Indiana. Canada's Niagara Falls region has also declared a state of emergency. That's right. Uh-huh. Out of an abundance of caution. And fear, cynicism, greed, cowardice, all of the above. That's right. The New York State Police has warned residents to be prepared. That's right. Stock up on food, water, and fuel, because the eclipse could last nearly 3 full minutes. So what is this? I don't. It's just bureaucratic.
Texas was
doing this. Has Texas declared an emergency?
They didn't declare, but they were warning.
They're warning people about clogged roads. And anyway, I think it's like they're testing for hysteria potential, right? Mm-hmm. You know, the wheels continue to turn on whatever shock event ends up being sprung in order to steal the election. Nobody's quite sure what it's going to be, but something has to give. And so the eclipse is a great opportunity to test for hysteria. What will the people tolerate? How hysterical and how quickly can they be whipped up into hysteria And so we'll see with the eclipse, and we'll see if we all survive. If we don't, if we don't survive, I guess I'll be embarrassed that I didn't take it that seriously. That I, the omen, I didn't realize. I thought it was just another eclipse like the one we just had a few years ago. So from there, we go to, let's see, this is from the widespread file because I wasn't sure what to call this. A joint intelligence bulletin is warning of potential terrorism. Yeah, that's right. Intelligence agencies in the United States say they are advising people to stay away from large gatherings like eclipse watching. That's right. And they say New York could be a target of terrorism. Boy, are we lucky that we have these geniuses watching our back. What? What? New York could be? Wow, I'm glad we have intelligence agencies. All right. So if you are preparing to watch the eclipse, be scared. Be afraid. Be very afraid. And we don't want to take the warning against terrorism lightly because basically the potential for terrorism in any large gathering happens every time you walk into a grocery store. Mm-hmm. Hello? And we don't need anyone to tell us, for crying out loud. So be afraid. That's the number one headline from governing officials all across the path of totality.
No mask?
Meanwhile, no mask mandates as of yet.
Oh, okay.
I saw a lady with a mask. So I'm in the store and I'm walking through the aisles and this elderly lady comes and she's got a mask and she's got it down over her mouth and her chin, but her nose is sticking out. Isn't this bizarre that I'm telling this joke now?
It's
2024, for crying out loud. She's walking with this mask, filthy, nasty-looking thing, down, and her nose is sticking out, and I wanted to say to her, hey, if you're going to wear that mask, I want to see it up at regulation height, up over the nose. You know the drill. But I didn't say anything because it's just like a frail old lady, and you got to feel sorry for people who are still in that state. And so I didn't say it, but I saved that so I could tell that on the air. I hope you found that amusing. So envisioning me just going off on an old lady at the store. You're driving me crazy, lady. Anyway, as far as we know, she did survive the shopping event. From the war file, we have, a report. A report from sources within the government say, that's the government of the United States of America, that Iran claims that it has asked the U.S. to step aside as Iran prepares to respond to the suspected Israeli attack on its consulate in Syria. That's an interesting way for the reporter to put this. Anyone who thinks that's just a suspected Israeli attack hasn't been paying attention to the war in Israel. And so Israel blew up. It was adjacent to the Iranian consulate in Syria, and part of the consulate got blown up because it happened to be adjacent to the explosion. And they killed some guys from Hezbollah, and they killed some Revolutionary Guard, two generals, killed two Iranian generals on Iranian territory in Syria. A significant escalation of the hostilities. And Iran has been saber-rattling ever since, threatening to attack. Hezbollah has warned the Jewish state to prepare for war. As if they haven't been paying attention that the Jewish state is executing a war. So, anyway, we have a report that Mohammed, the Iranian, wrote a post on X warning that the U.S. should step aside so that you don't get hit. And he claims that in response to his post on X, The United States responded and asked Iran not to hit American targets. Now, normally, we wouldn't believe anything that Mohammed, the Iranian, says. But oddly enough, the U.S. has not commented on the story. And we do know that the Biden administration did communicate directly with Iran to make clear that the American intelligence agencies were not aware that the strike in Damascus against the Iranian consulate was going to happen. We didn't know. We didn't know it was going to happen. We were too busy coordinating with ISIS on the Moscow operation. And we were also attending lavish parties and feasts. We didn't have time to work with the Israelis on the... So there you have, that's from the war file. And the war file continues. The headline I have here, World War III is now inevitable, says, I don't know who this is. Does it even matter who it is? It's some reporter. World War III is now inevitable. Okay, well, World War III has been inevitable since World War II, which was inevitable since World War I, and just keep going back. People love a sequel, that's all. So World War III is inevitable. It has been inevitable. But there is a significant chance that World War III will erupt this year. There's a significant chance of that. But the reporter, this is taken down from the Discern report, but I know they always copy their stuff from someone else. I wish I would have made note of who this is. Anyway, the author says there's a large contingent. The author goes on to take note of the sad state of the American military and the youth of America in general, with the facial piercings and the marijuana and the tattoos and the pale, flabby, you know. How are we gonna execute World War III with the kids we got, for crying out loud? We're driving across the parking lot at the same store where I saw the old lady with the mask. And I saw two kids who, one of them looked like you could knock him over with a feather, just pale and thin and in a daze. And then walking the other way was a kid who was easily 200 pounds overweight. And I said, those kids, they could save America someday. Just get them in the Marine Corps and whip them into shape. You just never know. Never underestimate. So, well, anyway, the author here says that there's a large contingent of mostly conservative men with the background and aptitude for combat that want nothing to do with Ukraine. Yes, Europe is deploying troops as we speak into Ukraine. And American troops, no doubt, are on the ground in some capacity in Ukraine and could be on the ground in much more significant capacity in the very near future. And the author notes that not only do we have a bunch of flabby, pale, stoned queers of military age, that's one thing to worry about, but all the redneck kids, they don't want to go to war for did I almost said Iraq? A little Freudian slip there. They don't want to go to war for Ukraine. The redneck kids who could actually win the war, they don't want to go. They believe that far-left Western governments and globalists want to use them as cannon fodder to get rid of them. Once they're used up in the war, there'll be no one left to oppose the leftist takeover at home. Well, seeing as the leftist takeover at home is complete, the rednecks... Well, the rednecks should have been paying more attention earlier, like when they burned that police station down in Minneapolis. What we needed was a redneck rebellion at that point, but that didn't happen. Anyway, so there's a significant concern regarding who would win if World War III were to erupt, and we'll get into it. We'll talk a little bit more about it as the show unfolds, because I don't know if you remember the Russian front. If you studied World War II, there was the Russian front. If anyone in any of the German soldiers if they upset someone in the high command, they would get sent to the Russian front. I know this mostly from Hogan's Heroes. You'd go to the Russian front, and the Russian front is as close as mankind has come to hell on earth in the past couple hundred years. Just awful, horrible. Well, since World War I. And there were no good guys. There were no good guys at the Russian front. You had the Nazis battling the red communists for dominance in a world where if either side won, all was lost. And I look at the potential combatants in World War III, and I'm having a hard time spotting the good guys. And I am your host, Doug McBurney. Thank you for being with us this week. And I just want to address the far-left Western governments, the far-left Western governments that the average redneck suspects would sell him out as cannon fodder. They're the problem. So what is one to do when one looks at the far-left Western governments and then looks at Russia, and it's very hard to tell who would govern the world more justly in the ashes following World War III. It's not as obvious as it was the last time we ran this movie. All right, now, meanwhile, we go into the real science file where I have a story from Live Action. A new study published in the Lancet Medical Journal. Now, just let that sink in because, boy, that doesn't have the cachet it used to. It's kind of lost the luster since the Lancet went whole hog head first in for the whole COVID hysteria. And the Operation Warp Speed, yeah, all of it. Everything published now in my opinion, everything published in every peer-reviewed journal now is suspect. I'm sorry. You can only push it so far before the average person with just common sense and not on a peer review board or committee just says, okay, I'm just not going to take this at face value any longer. So, a new study published in the Lancet Medical Journal, okay. Anyway, according to the study, the global population could begin falling within just decades as nation after nation after nation falls below replacement level fertility. And so, I read that and I think, you know what, I'll bet this study is fairly accurate. Just based on everything else I've read over the last 20 years that I've been shouting from the rooftops here on the air that population crash is one of the great threats to civilization. And it's, by the way, this would be the first time the global population has fallen since the Black Death in the 1300s. Uh-huh. And that's not even counting the COVID and World War III. I mean, throw those in the mix and the Black Death got nothing on us. The Black Death got nothing on far left governments and trannies and feminists and homos and just the whole video games and pornography, and the Black Death can't hold a candle to all of that. So from there, from the Black Death, we go to Montana, where the governor there, Greg, has announced that he will deploy Montana National Guard troops to the southern border. That's right. Yeah, I believe he was wearing a cowboy hat when he said that. He is signing a disaster declaration because we do that for just about anything anymore, apparently. So it doesn't require a disaster declaration, but he's signing it because it probably gives him access to some other way to fund it than the meager tax base in the state of Montana that's already been pillaged. He said in his mobilization speech, Joe Biden has enabled the invasion at our southern border. Joe Biden has enabled... It's like, Greg, where have you been for... How old are you, man? Where have you been for the last 50 years as... The ruling elite on the Republican and Democrat side have engineered the invasion of America for the better part of 50 years. But this, so we know why he's mobilizing troops to the southern border. It's because there's an election coming up. That's the main reason. Now, he also says there's drugs and crime coming through, mentions fentanyl because fentanyl's I guess it's the scariest of all the scary things that are coming across the border. So he's sure to mention fentanyl, and he's sure to mention President Biden several times. President Biden has left our southern border completely exposed, drug cartels, crime, drugs, fentanyl. The town hall notes that a slew of states with Republican governors have pledged to send troops to the border, or they claim to have already started sending troops to the border. And as the election draws near, they'll send more and more and more. And then after the election is over, they will all go to their Chamber of Commerce meetings and the invasion will continue. Kristi Noem, the governor of South Dakota, said the border is a war zone, so we're sending soldiers, said Christie, also a Republican. Don't know if she mentioned Joe Biden. I'm sure if you go back and look, she will have mentioned the fact that Joe Biden is responsible for all of this. All right. Now, from the widespread hysteria file, we check in with one John Stewart. You remember John Stewart? Anyone? Crickets. John Stewart? All right, so the article from Breitbart opens up with the following line. Comedian John Stewart is... And you have to stop there and you're like, okay, so this is obviously an opinion piece. Playing a little fast and loose with the facts there. John Stewart is sounding the alarm on artificial intelligence. He says that the AI bots are coming for our jobs. AI is replacing us in the workplace, says John Stewart, not in the future, but now. What does that mean, John? Are you an AI front? Are you just a projection of... So here's the thing. If John Stewart is afraid that AI could replace anyone's job, we could only hope that it's his job first.
Yeah.
You know? For as much as Comedy Central, is he working at Comedy Central? I thought this guy retired or, I don't know. I didn't know he was still around. Yeah. Hopefully it could start with his job and then as many jobs at Comedy Central as possible. That wouldn't be scary. Let's admit it. John Stewart should be afraid. He should be worried about because he already has other people writing his jokes. So, of course, he's going to be nervous that he could be replaced with a robot. He's basically just a talking head anyway. So why not robots? Well, people are saying that... people are saying that AI is scary and that it's going to replace whoever, I guess, John Stewart. So maybe it will replace John Stewart. But there's an economic bubble that has been blowing up around artificial intelligence, and people are saying that the AI bubble on Wall Street is not like 1999 with the dot-com bubble. It's not like that. And I think it's exactly like that. It's exactly like that. Everyone on Wall Street is selling everyone else stocks with completely unrealistic, rosy future projections about what AI is. And it's exactly what happened in 1999-2000 with the dot-com bubble. But AI is creepier than... So, I mean, with the dot-com, you had like, okay, pets.com. I'm going to buy my dog food online instead of at the store. Yeah, it was odd, but it wasn't like, didn't give me the creeps. But AI is creepy. So I was in a meeting with some professional associates this past week. And it became obvious just a few minutes into the meeting that the organizers of the meeting were reading notes generated by AI. Why was it obvious? I don't know. It was just really obvious. Well, because I know these people and they don't talk like that. And it was just weird to hear people reading a script that was churned out by ChatGPT or whoever. And basically allowing AI to speak for them. That to me is really weird. I couldn't do that. I've used AI. By the way, I've used AI to take notes and to generate to generate content, text. I've used it for that. It's handy for that. It can save some time. But there's no way I could just sit and read it right off the page as ChatGPT spit it out. I feel like I'd lose my soul. Are you kidding me? I mean, it's handy for getting all the data points necessary from, let's say, a meeting. You can't take perfect notes. You have a sip of coffee. You go to the bathroom. Whatever. You miss stuff. So you got your AI co-pilot taking notes. That's good for that. But then to actually just read them? That's just creepy and weird. And I have a feeling AI, in the big grand scheme of things, is going to be too creepy, weird, strange, plastic, not real to replace anyone of any significant, not even significant, of any measurable talent or intellect. You don't have to worry about AI replacing you. I'm sorry. And so when the AI bubble pops and the stock market drops, I'm telling you, you're going to hear the reporters say, "Well, this was very reminiscent of the 1999-2000.com bubble." Right now, they're saying it's nothing like that because right now they're selling stocks. Anyway, yeah. So here's the thing about AI. Too many cutesy adjectives that people just don't use, at least not normal people. And so I can spot it a mile away. Oh, by the way, that reminds me, the story we did last week on Lily Dunn, the author of the Patchwork Family article about the adulterous wife who unrepentantly destroyed her family and then permanently disabled her children. I searched for evidence that she is not an AI creation, and there is very little evidence of that. Now, there is one post on X about her poor daughter suffering long COVID for 18 months back in 2023, and that fits with that personality and reality, but there's little else. So, for the sake of our own sanity, we're going to assume that she is just a fair to middling AI creation of a writer or something like that until we get further evidence that anyone that horrible could actually be real. We'll be right back. I'm your host, Doug McBurney. I don't know who that is, but I know they're from the 80s, and I remember when that record came out.
You don't know who that is.
I don't know who that is.
Yes.
That's Yes?
Yes.
Okay. That's okay. Yes. I should have known that.
Anyway.
So when that record came out, there were allegations that that song and a number of others in the genre, the pop rock, almost rock pop, a number of songs in that genre, including the entire band Toto and their entire record, were all written by computers. And that they were all fake. It's the dawn of AI. Because all the songs were the same recipe. They were the same. What's the word I'm looking for? Not recipe. There's another word. Yes, that's it. They were all the same formula. And so people were suspecting that these guys are having computers write their albums. I was in the store today. I was walking around listening to the pop music that they're playing at the store today. And, okay, so are all male vocalists now required to try to sound like Paul Simon? Is that the deal? They all have to sound like Paul Simon? Didn't Paul Simon already do that like 50 years ago? Do we really need that again? And then the female vocalists don't sound like human beings. They sound like they're all generated by computers and AI and synthesizers. And all I can imagine is this is what my father must have experienced when he listened to whatever I was listening to. Because I just can't relate. And I certainly, it's not pleasurable to shop to any of that. Not at all. What was the song we finally heard? Finally, we went to the hardware store. And heavy metal. Sammy Hagar. Something I could at least relate to. The guy was at least playing a guitar.
Yeah, but your dad would have said,
my dad would be like, That's not even real guitar. He's got it all plugged into all that computer junk. Get out of here with that. Turn that garbage off. All right. Okay, so let's jump back into reality. Not shopping circa 2024, because that's like a bizarro world. So, I mean, does that help with retail spending, by the way? Playing pop music? Is that... I mean, I remember it used to be elevator music. What did they used to call it? There was a name for it they had. They took all the words out, and then they put it to a slower beat. Not even a beat. They did like the Philharmonic came in, you know, playing like Grease is the Word, but da-da-da with the violins. Whatever they called it back then. But not anymore. They play the straight stuff. And some of the words are offensive for crying out loud. There's children in the store. Women and children in the store. You're playing songs. All right. What are you going to do? I think the entire adult population seems to be numb to the pornographic filth that's in the music that they're playing at the store. All right. So I'm trying now. I'm thinking of the words to Sammy Hagar, their heavy metalist. I'm trying to think. Was any of that? So I can't remember. Anyways, there was nothing of outright vulgar that I can recall. Although I'd have to review that. You know, I was mostly listening to the guitar, anyways. All right. So from there we go into the plumber's file. The plumber's file. That's right. This is from the Daily Caller, Mike Rowe. Says that there is hope for America. We reported last week on the acute shortage of plumbers and other tradesmen that is hanging over the American economy like the sword of Damocles, as we all envision getting older and not being able to take care of the plumbing ourselves and then not having anyone else to call. That's not a comfortable feeling. Well, Mike Rowe says, don't freak out. The number of students enrolled at vocational community colleges rose in 2023, and students training to become construction workers increased as well. He says, Gen Z can see the writing on the wall. They can pay $100,000 a year to go to college and work at McDonald's, where they're going to be replaced by a kiosk. Or they could pick up a hammer and a saw and make a fortune. And they're doing it, which is encouraging. Like I said, one of them's probably the pale, pasty kid walking across the parking lot today. He's probably on his way to trade school. God bless America. There's more hope than we think. Now, the Gen Z plumber and the Gen Z electrician, I'm sure they'll have the facial piercing and the tattoos. And but who else are you going to call, you know? I mean, Lord willing, I'll be 75 years old, and I'll be complaining, honey, the plumber looks like he's Alice Cooper's stagehand. What's going on with the plumber? It's like a horror movie.
Alice Cooper.
But I won't be able to fix the plumbing. I have to just, come on in, son. Take off your nose ring. Stay a while. Fix the plumbing. Lord willing, they'll be there for us. All right. Meanwhile, we go into the politics file. I don't know why. I'm kind of sick of it all. But oh, I know why. Because this is actually speaking of creepy and weird. This is creepy and weird. Zero Hedge reports that the campaign of Bobby Kennedy Jr. Is he a junior? I'm sorry. I can't really say. They call him Bobby Kennedy, but wasn't that his dad or was that his uncle? Anyway, the Kennedy now that's running for president, the communist. He's a straight up communist, but because he thinks the vaccines are bad, all the conservatives think he's some kind of Mr. Wonderful. Guy's a straight up communist. Anyway, just a leftist maniac. But for whatever reason, he gets traction with the conservative media because he says that the COVID vaccine, you shouldn't have ran and made a vaccine and then stuck it in the arm of everyone mandatory. It was bad. Okay, well, it's a pretty low bar, but Kennedy clears it. Anyway, but that's not the point here. The Kennedy campaign has made its fifth formal request for Secret Service protection. They cited repeated death threats and two heavily armed intruders to a campaign event and an intruder at Kennedy's house while him and his wife were at home. And he is a legitimate presidential candidate. And by the way, his name is Kennedy. Okay. So whether you like it or not, just being a Kennedy running for president, that makes you a legitimate candidate. And so the Secret Service in times past, the sitting president would grant Secret Service protection to legitimate candidates who had significant, serious concerns about their security. It was called civilization. Well, Joe Biden has denied it again. And the guy's name is Kennedy. Did I mention his name is Kennedy? Okay. Anyway, Zero Hedge writes, if another Kennedy is killed while campaigning for president, it will be a long-lasting traumatic stain on the American psyche that will scar the soul of our democracy for decades to come. Was that AI? What about Kennedy? Well, shouldn't you mention that it would be quite unpleasant for Mr. Kennedy and his wife, kids, family? It's a stain on democracy. How's that a stain on democracy? Anyway, that's just weird. I would have mentioned, you know, the guy and his family. You know, the guy getting shot. That, but they didn't mention that. Let's see. They say that this current situation brings up memories of 1968 when Robert F. Kennedy Sr. and Martin Luther King Jr. were shot and killed. George Wallace was shot as well, paralyzed, taking him out of the presidential race. So I guess that's what they consider a stain on democracy because he got shot, that he was taken out of the race. Is that a stain on democracy? Anyway, it's just, I wouldn't put it that way. It seems a bit political, that's all. Anyway, it does bring back memories of 1968, though. This 1968 was a bad year. It was bad. I remember when I was a teenager, there was a show on TV, a documentary called 1968, A Crack in Time, and they showed the riots and the kids and the punks and the bikers and the Democrat convention and tear gas and the riots after the various assassinations. 68 was a bad year. 2020 was far worse. Far worse. And why do I have this sinking feeling that 2024 is going to be worse yet? You know, fortunately, I'm almost wrong about every prediction I make. Or every sinking, bad, ominous feeling I have is generally not warranted. So I'm gonna assume that's good news, that I feel like things are going to go nuts in 2024. What's going to happen is we're going to have a normal election. The Democrats are going to cheat just enough to win, and everything's going to be okay. And the stock market's not going to crash. And World War III is not going to start.
Okay, stop. Okay. It's going to become real.
So I want to make all these predictions. Oh, that's right. What I need to do is be hysterical. The more hysterical I am, the better chance that I'll look like a moron on New Year's Day 2025. All right. Now, let's go from there to the Not As I Do file. That's right, the Not As I Do file, where we check in with Richard Dawkins, globally famous atheist. He was speaking to a radio interviewer in England last week, and he said that he is slightly horrified that Ramadan lights were put up in London instead of the Easter lights. I do think, said atheist Richard Dawkins, we are a culturally Christian country. I call myself a cultural Christian. I am not a believer. But there is a distinction between being a believing Christian and being a cultural Christian. I feel at home in the Christian ethos. I feel that we here in the United Kingdom, we are a Christian country. I prefer, you see, to comfortably feed off the corpse as I drain the life out of it, rather than be intimidated and fearful by the Mohammedans. I made that last part up. Well, actually, that was generated by AI.
Oh, okay.
They added that. He said that he would lament the loss of cathedrals and other cultural aspects of living in a Christian country. And he says that when it comes to the dominant religion in the United Kingdom, he says that any other religion would be truly dreadful. Any other religion? So what about the secular postmodernist religion that you've foisted on everyone? Or at least you've helped. You've made every effort to push Christianity into the closet and replace it with your own secular godless ethos. And now you're scared. Now you're scared because you didn't count on the fact that the Mohammedans would be the ones, that it wouldn't be the lesbians and the college professors that would dominate British culture. It would end up being the Mohammedans. You hadn't counted on that, had you, Mr. Christian Country? He was asked whether he saw the building of Islamic mosques across Europe as a problem. His answer was, quote, "Yes, I do," unquote. He later said, quote, "If I had to choose between Christianity and Islam, I would choose Christianity every single time. Because with the Islam, they would have already cut off my head. I'd only had one choice, and I would have chosen Christianity at that point." "It seems to be a fundamentally decent religion, and I think Islam is not." She said, putting it, there you go. Like they issued a fatwa, I'm sure, on that one. I'm not talking about individual Muslims, of course. No, 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 not individual Muslims. They're wonderful, wonderful people. Please don't chop my head off. Please don't chop my head off. I just want to make it clear that I like to live in a culturally Christian country, although I do not believe a single word of the Christian faith. Not a single word? Well, you must at least believe that the words that are, what did he call it? He called it a fundamentally decent religion. So he must believe the fundamentally decent part. You know, the part about love your neighbor, stuff like that. That's not, you don't find that in the Quran, nor do you find that in any of Dawkins' books. The whole love your neighbor thing. The whole sacrificial love part. You know, that made for all the pretty cathedrals. And the fact that you can destroy Christianity without fear of anyone chopping your head off. He at least believed that part. Anyway. You know what Dawkins doesn't realize is that Englishmen and Europeans are no longer going to have the opportunity to choose what rules, who rules Europe and who rules England. They're not going to get to choose. No, instead, they're going to get what they deserve. Weekly Worldview, and I'm your host, Doug McBurney. A black hole curtain has descended across the continent as the advocates of atheism have invited in the dark forces of Mohammed. So unintentionally, by the way, they had no. So they didn't believe in anything, and they thought everyone would end up agreeing with them, and they were incorrect. They thought they were freeing themselves and everyone else from religion, when really what they were doing, what Richard Dawkins was doing, was attempting to mask his religion over real religion, the Christian religion. And in doing so, he unleashed the dark forces of hell and death that he so fears now. Because it's not just the pretty cathedrals and the lights. He's afraid. He's afraid for himself and for the future of his family and his children, his grandchildren, if he has any. He's actually afraid. And quite often that's what it takes to get people's attention. Yeah, early on, God instituted the death penalty for everyone who sinned at all, because he knew that with these people, I'm going to have to kill them to get their attention. There's going to have to be a legitimate threat of death in order to get their attention. And perhaps we have your attention, Mr. Dawkins. Perhaps. All right. Now, going from Richard Dawkins to murderous mad killers, we check into the death after Roe file, where down in, is this Florida? This is Florida. On the ballot during the coming election season, Florida voters will be allowed to vote to kill babies as often as possible. The details escape me at the moment, but they don't matter. to allow a democratic process around the idea of murdering any innocent people is, well, let's just call it a stain on our democracy. It's a stain on our democracy, and it's evil and wicked and horrible and awful. But that's what's going to happen in Florida this fall. A number of states, by the way, want to codify within their state law the right to murder certain innocent people. But also in Florida, according to the Post-Millennial, a 6-week abortion ban is set to take effect in Florida. That's right. It's been signed by the governor. It's been upheld by a court. And it's a 6-week abortion ban will take effect on May 1st. And it will ban all abortions after 6 weeks except the ones it doesn't ban. And that's why it's a ban. Because the ones that are banned will be banned. That's right. The 6-week ban on some abortions will be conditional on a constitutional amendment vote. And so this is the death. This is death after Roe. The argument is between, should we legalize murdering people at this date, at this age, or at this age? And the pro-lifers say this age, which is bad. It's tragic, awful, horrible. It signals the end of Western civilization. If the good guys are willing to draw the line at, okay, we'll kill these people at this date, well, I'm sorry. You just don't get to keep your civilization after that. So, and listen to how I don't know if this is the author at the Post-Millennial. Maybe they pulled this down from the Associated Press. Oh, they might be quoting ABC here. They say voters in Florida will vote on an amendment that will secure abortion up to 24 weeks during pregnancy. Okay, during pregnancy? When else are we talking about pregnancy? It's during pregnancy. You're not counting the weeks of a child in gestation except during a pregnancy. Why did you add those words during a pregnancy? I'll tell you why. Because urinalists have been trained to add extra words to draw emphasis away from the part about killing babies. Just add some extra words because it just takes the edge off. And if we do it long enough, the people all become numb and they don't even know what we're talking about. And they'll think that 6 weeks is reasonable. When it's all murder and it's all damnable is what it is. The wicked twist in the Roe decision is that in codifying the right of the states to regulate the murder of innocent people, the court gave permission for what... for what Richard Dawkins might call culturally pro-life. Gave permission for the culturally pro-life, especially the heathens. The heathens could keep saying, well, personally, I'm pro-life, but, you know. And so they'll vote to kill innocent people. And then the pro-life Christians, alleged Christians, they'll say, well, of course I'm pro-life, but, you know, we really have to win an election and this has to be able to pass the vote in the constitutional muster. And what all of them don't realize that they're doing, or I don't know, maybe they do. I think most people don't even realize that in God's eyes, they're basically keeping a path open in case they want to kill someone inconvenient for them. And you might think, no way, I would never do it. Well, then why would you even participate in this if you would never do it? In God's eyes, it's as if it's just attempted murder, which in God's eyes is murder. It's the same. Anyway, it's all very diabolical what's happened. And more seriously even than that, the diabolically wicked ruling that overturned Roe versus Wade it deceives the children by leading them to believe that being against killing some innocent people is not only an acceptable belief, it's preferable to an unalienable right to life. Especially if you include the unborn, because that won't win an election. Now, if you protect the taxpayers and the people with bank accounts from being murdered, that will win elections. Which, that should tell you something about that position. Well, if we protect productive tax-paying people who can contribute to the economy from being killed, we'll all vote for that. But the people who can't defend themselves and who have no voice and are weak, we'll allow them to be killed so that we can have the other. So, if you don't realize that that's evil, that's because you're evil. And you should deal with the fact that you're evil. There is help for evil people. All right. Now we go to reason number 2061 to get or keep your children out of the government schools. WorldNet Daily has the headline that screams, "Confirmed! Teachers and students can escape LGBT indoctrination!" It's been confirmed! Teachers and students can escape! It's confirmed, as if this just happened. The legal team at Liberty Counsel has obtained confirmation that teachers and students at a Minnesota school district are not required to attend lessons in queer ideology and dirty sex talk. That's right. Teachers and students, according to Liberty Counsel, in fact, now are free to exercise their legal right to opt out of the LGBTQIA+ lessons. They are free now, thanks to Liberty Counsel. That was in a fundraising letter by the next morning. Yeah. I have a quote from Liberty Counsel Chief Matt Staver. He says, quote, "Teachers and students cannot be forced to participate in speech that conflicts with their sincerely held religious beliefs. Teacher opt-out accommodations will be approved, and students may choose to leave prior to or during the LGBTQIA+ history and cultural lessons and dirty sex talk." So just so you know, Matt, nobody had to hire you or any other lawyer to escape. That we've been able to escape, and countless hundreds of thousands, nay millions of us, have escaped without you. And without referring to our sincerely held religious beliefs, whatever that means. That's legalese. That's legalese so that Matt Staver doesn't have to say our clients are not going to be compelled to participate in a criminal act. That's right. A teacher with dirty sex talk about queers and weird, strange sex things in front of kids, that's a criminal act. But instead of calling it a criminal act, Matt Staver and the lawyers say we're protecting your sincerely held religious belief to opt out, and they're basically codifying the legality of adults talking dirty to kids. Because now that's right alongside sincerely held religious belief. You have your sincerely held religious beliefs over here so that you can opt out, check out, escape. But over here, we have the teacher talking dirty to the kids. Mm-hmm. And those are both. What are you doing, Matt? How come you don't call out that this is criminal? Oh, that won't win the case. You might lose a case if you were to say that this is criminal. Well, if that's where we are, I think that's where we are, which is terrible. We have Liberty Counsel participating in the entrenchment of evil and wickedness. And by the way, the increased rates of child molestation. Because whenever you help entrench evil in the culture, well, that manifests itself in real harm to real people, Matt. I don't know. If someone doesn't start calling the police on these child molesters at the schools, I guess we can't, right? You call the police. What would the police say if you called them up? Said, I got a 27-year-old man here talking dirty to my 11-year-old daughter and right here. Come and arrest this guy. And what would the police say? I don't think they would come. Although maybe somebody should try. I mean, why not try? Because I'm telling you this will come to a head at some point and it will not be comfortable for any of us. Because this cannot be allowed to continue. It simply cannot be allowed to continue. And my advice to anyone out there to avoid conflict and to de-escalate the situation is get your kids out of the school so you're not put in a position where you have to defend your child against a criminal act in the schools. All right. Now, from there, we go to the Black Death file. We mentioned the Black Death earlier. Well, listen to this. The Black Death has nothing on the secular humanist religion for its ability to kill people. Zora Terbeek, she was a little Dutch girl who once had ambitions to become a psychiatrist, but she was never able to muster the will to finish school or start a career. She says she was hobbled by depression, autism, and borderline personality disorder, the trifecta of the modern psycho-medical pharmaceutical industry. Now she says she's tired of living. Despite the fact that she claims to be in love with her 41-year-old boyfriend who she shacks up with somewhere with their two cats. She is, how old? She's 20-something, 28 years old. She says she's in love with the 40-year-old guy who won't marry her, but they have the cats. But despite that, she's depressed, and she's been seeing her psychiatrist, and her psychiatrist recently told her that they have tried everything, and there's nothing more we can do for you. It's not going to get any better. Your depression, the autism, the borderline personality, it's just not going to get, but we've tried everything. So she has decided to die. She decided to kill herself, is how that should be written, because she lives in Holland, where if you're depressed, you can decide to kill yourself, and they will dispatch a doctor to do it all nice and clean and clinical, and so that nobody has to clean up a really big mess. I mean, at least not a big physical mess. So she says she's going to die at home. She's going to die on the couch in the living room. The doctor will administer a sedative followed by a drug that will stop Terbeek's heart. Actually, he's going to administer a drug that will kill her. Stopping of the heart is... Well, yeah, that will occur, so technically it's an accurate state. So the doctor's going to kill her at her request because she's depressed and her psychiatrist says there's just nothing else we can do for you. It's tragic. I want to weep for this poor girl. She's only 28 years old. She was born into a world gone mad. My guess is she's been on some sort of pharmaceutical assistance for a long time. And she's just reached the end of that. Like most drug addicts do, they eventually reach the end of it. You know, they either end up overdosing or coming to Jesus. Which, by the way, the author of the article says, if only someone had told this beautiful young woman about our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And then he mentions it. It's not too late, so someone could. And I guarantee you someone will. There's no way that this woman's publicly touted and... glorified story of her choice to kill herself. There's no way this story goes out to the world without God responding directly to her and to people in her life. Guarantee it. So, and hopefully she'll hear. I had mentioned earlier that if you don't recognize the evil in yourself, that there's help for that. And that's it. It's our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And so hopefully he'll respond to you as well. And before you come to the point where you want to kill yourself or someone else. So anyway, thank you for tuning in. That's it for the Weekly Worldview. Lord willing, we'll return next week. And until then, may the grace of God go with you. And may the peace of Jesus Christ be upon you.